Join the conversation on Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron. Text 580-580 right now.
I can take myself dancing. 510, welcome back to the show. Costco has always checked your receipts. Correct me if I'm wrong, dear listener. I don't remember a single time ever going into Costco where they didn't do that. It's been standard practice. They've got their professional receipt checkers, two, stationed on both sides of the doorways so nobody can slip out. And they're very happy and they're chipper and they often strike up a conversation with you. And they make sure that you're not leaving with anything you didn't pay for. Now more places are starting to do this. And there was one Loblaw location in Ottawa that generated quite a bit of Twitter discussion and some anger because they put up a sign that said, "You may be subject to checking your receipt to make sure our inventory is accurate, aka people are stealing, aka we'll catch you in the act." I have no problem with my receipt being checked. Go ahead and check it. The only thing that I think is problematic is if they start targeting people. Ooh, I don't like the looks of her. Pull her over. Check her bags. She looks like she might be a thief. When you start profiling people and targeting only certain people. Oh, well, that person's very well dressed, so they would never steal. That person looks a little rough around the edges, so I'm going to stop him and pull him over and root through his bag. I don't like that. I'm also skeptical that it works because I've seen people at the grocery store, at the pharmacy. The person at the till is standing right there as somebody pockets an item or just walks out with it and they kind of shrug. Whatever. I'm paid minimum wage. I don't care. I'm just waiting till I can clock out. Tom Doyle is a professional. For 40 years, he's been a loss prevention specialist, which means that he's the guy in the grocery store. Sometimes he's there. He's dressed as somebody coming home from an office. He's dressed as a construction worker, steel-toed boots. He's in disguise. He's a grocery store detective. He's the vice president of operations and corporate protection at this investigative services organization. And I chatted with him earlier. I have to tell you, in all the years of hosting this show, I've chatted with a lot of fascinating people. I've never chatted with anybody in that line of work. And he had some stories to tell. He has been bitten. He has been stabbed. He has been punched. All while stopping people and catching them in the act of thievery. What he told me is that his business has gone up. It's gone up by at least 50% because more and more people are stealing and more stores require his services. He says he's seen some doozies. People often don't see him watching because he's dressed in plain clothes. And he believes now more than ever, people are skimming off the top a bit. People are maybe not putting in all of the items, scanning all of the barcodes, or scanning it as something else because times are tight and prices are high.
Grocery stores, I've had wrestling up to $1,500 in meat alone. They just come in, fill up their bag and walk right out the door, jump into a car. License plates are usually stolen. So they have no worries. That's their job. That's what they do for a living. Either sometimes you look like you're coming from, you know, you wear construction boots. People think, oh, he's a construction worker. And you're walking around the store and you're just watching for shoplifters.
I think there are many reasons for this. The most obvious one, he says, high prices.
You might walk into a drugstore and you think, okay, I'm buying $50 worth of stuff. I need a bottle of Tylenol. You know, it's $9.99, $10.99, or razor blades. Razor blades go, you know, they're up to like $30, $40. So you grab a pack of those and just put it in your pocket and walk out.
The other reason, I think it just comes down to human nature, is if I look at a cashier and I see a set of human eyes looking back at me, and I know there's intelligence behind those eyes and I'm being watched, then I'm less likely to pocket something because I know there's a human being there. There's actually a science to it. That's why they'll put those signs up, or sometimes they'll put eyes, or they put a smiley face, or they put a sign that responds to you, because it's this feeling of being watched. And so you start to monitor yourself and you change your own decision making. You self-govern. because you don't want to get caught. Whereas going through the self-checkout, if it's one of the regular ones, not the ones at Walmart where they say you're on camera and you can see a video of yourself, that's actually pretty effective. But if it's just a regular one where you're scanning items, there's no human being. It's the perfect accomplice. You feel less guilt. It's easier to do. The temptation is stronger. Let's get to you. Our question of the day, what do you think of these receipt checks?
Hey, my question for you today is...
Only one question.
Quick question.
Question.
Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Receipt checks, standard practice, or you're over it. Or you find it insulting. A lot of people, I would say overwhelmingly, do not like this. Here's listener Nat with her take.
I feel that they're going to do away with all the cashiers. So eventually we're going to be doing all the work ourselves. And then they're going to say they don't trust us. I think they should have a cashier there. Somebody who's trained, knows what they're doing. Because people can make mistakes. They're going to blame innocent people, I'm sure, somewhere along the line. And I just don't like the self-checkout.
She's against it. She says when the self-checkout machines are so different depending on the stores, of course people are going to make errors.
If you go to Loblaws, they're not the same as Basic or the same as Walmart. So you always end up standing there taking a lot longer than you should.
I'm more used to the Loblaw one. I can get through that one pretty quickly in Shoppers Drug Mart, Danny.
Yeah.
But God help me if I'm at Walmart or Metro. The one at Metro. I'm barely ever at Metro.
Yeah.
I should go more often, actually, because I find the prices are a little bit better.
Okay.
And this is just in my neighborhood. I use the apps and I look on everything there. But the one at Metro, I really don't know how to work and I look like an imbecile.
Yeah, there's sometimes you're just pressing the screen like a monkey, right? You're like, somebody help me.
Can the little man that lives behind the screen come out and help me?
Or when you're trying to ask for help, they're helping other people and you're just standing there waiting and you're like, hey.
I know. And sometimes they get mad at you.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I did a huge haul and I was going to the cottage. This was on Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm there and I'm not going to say where I was. And I'm spending almost $200 on groceries. And every blinking item, and this is with the one that I know how to use really well, every blinking item is beep, beep, beep. An attendant will come and help you. No, they won't.
No.
They never come. And the guy was rolling his eyes and exasperated with me. And I said, buddy, I don't know why it's doing this.
Yeah.
I know all these. Some of the codes I know by heart now.
I know.
Red onion, potatoes, things that we buy a lot. Not potatoes, but red onion.
Yeah.
Radishes. I know these codes. I'm typing them in. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And the attendant is practically standing there scanning everything in for me because every other item, the alarm goes off. There's a little beeper that goes off. Attendant will come and help you. And he's looking exasperated and I'm exasperated. So why not just have him there ringing me out because he's essentially doing it anyway.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, they're talking with other employees and they're just kind of shooting the you know what.
I know, but he's looking at me like, you idiot. And I said, I know, I am an idiot, but I have to buy these groceries. What do you want me to do? Just walk out and not pay for them?
Yeah.
It's almost like he would have preferred that I had stolen the produce than pay him because I was annoying him so much.
Yeah. And it's not like
I'm sorry for being an honest person.
Yeah. Well, how dare you?
Next time I'll just walk out with the bag of groceries and I won't bother you.
That's right. But it's not like you have an employee number to, you know, put in a code to override
something.
Just
give me a badge. Just give me a badge.
Exactly.
Do I get an employee discount in that case?
Yeah, sometimes.
Since I'm working here now.
Sometimes those machines are just too finicky.
Tim, on the other hand, does not see an issue with the practice of checking receipts.
I'm all for it. It doesn't bother me. You know, I shop at the Superstore in Westboro, and, you know, over the last maybe month or so, you know, there has been a, I don't know what you'd call them, like a security person kind of at the main door there. It's just watching people as they go out. Doesn't bother me at all. If they can save some money by limiting the amount of theft, it's a good thing.
If somebody's upset at the practice, he says, then don't take it out on the employees that are there. Take it to the management. Take it to the people who make the decision. It's not the fault of the cashiers who work there.
Unfortunately, that's the reality. Food is expensive. And if there's some way they can keep the cost down a little bit. It doesn't inconvenience me. I don't think that people think I'm a thief. I just see them as they have a job to do and they're doing that job. It doesn't bother me one iota.
We have 5 messages in favor of checking receipts, and I can't even count how many that are against it. Danny will do a quick little check on that. Louise in Cumberland says, I was working in the West End, Merivale area, made a quick stop at Walmart. A nice elderly woman was checking receipts. I commented it was like Costco. She told me that whole families come in flip-flops and leave with new shoes wearing new clothes.
Yeah.
What?
Insane.
That's brazen.
Mm-hmm.
This lady was about 70 to 80 years old and says they just keep walking. She can't stop them.
Right? Yeah.
Caroline in Ottawa says, I'm fine with stores checking receipts. I'm honest. I have nothing to worry about. I think people who are insulted need to get over themselves. Todd in Brayside, checking receipts isn't the worst. However, these chains chose the self-checkout. If they're so worried about inventory, then go back to humans. Fair enough. Charles from Centertown. Do they not ask for your receipt every time at Walmart? I could not care less about doing it. I don't shoplift. No money, don't go shopping. Pretty simple. I don't know if they do it every time at Walmart. When I was there, they didn't. But they have a little camera and they say, we can see you. We're watching.
Oh, big brother. There you are.
Pretty much. But how many people are against here? Can we do a rough count of how many text messages are furious about this? Nancy says, sometimes I'm not sure what type of apple or tomato I picked up, and then I have to call the cashier to my self-checkout. I'm afraid they'll arrest me if I punch in the wrong code by mistake. The old self-serve checkouts were better. I don't know what the old ones were. You know what's the worst? When you're at the self-serve and nobody's there to help you, so you can't void it, and you accidentally punch in organic.
Yeah.
And it's $3 to $4 or sometimes even more expensive.
I'll move on to another machine and just leave it unfrozen. I don't have time for this.
Rob from Beckwith, I don't like it. If self-checkouts are an issue, then hire cashiers. Fred says, I find it insulting. What you're saying is that you think I'm a thief and then I have to prove that I'm not. I think it's a violation. You should refuse it. What are they going to do? Another texter. I absolutely feel insulted when I leave a store and I get stopped to show my receipt, especially if they go through my bags to verify I only have what is on the receipt. This one person says, I've gone to complain to the manager and I've even gotten my money back before. Another texter. Charge us more for food. Make us check out. Make us bag our food ourselves. Make us pay for the bags. And now they're stopping and searching us? They want to have their cake and eat it too. No. 31% of people said yes, they're okay with it. 69% are against it, Danny, in our very unscientific poll this afternoon.
Yes, very unscientific. It's, yeah, I mean, people, I thought it was going to be pretty much what divided, like more
no.
divided than that.
But, and more people are texting yeah. in now, so it's going up and up. It's probably about 75% now, maybe. James from Metcalf, bring back humans. We need cashiers. Ben says, hallelujah. Receipt checks are a pain in the you know what. Save the salary dollars on the receipt checkers and have more attentive cashiers. Maria says, they've always checked your receipt at Costco, so I have no problem with it. But if I've gone through the cashier, then that should be the confirmation of payment. However, I have witnessed a shopper grabbing and exiting the store, yelling and screaming with store employees in pursuit, but giving up on the chase. Out the door?
Yes.
I've only seen that at the LCBO. Somebody texted in, they don't go after you at the LCBO. Oh, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, they do. The security guards do.
Yes.
They don't touch you. Mm-hmm. They don't tackle you to the ground. But at the Fairlawn Plaza, the mm-hmm. LCBO,
okay.
Which is in Carlingwood, across from the Carlingwood Shopping Center. I've seen this 3 times.
Wow.
And it's usually repeat offenders where mm-hmm. they know your number. They've seen you before. They recognize you. And they tail you. They wait till you put something under your jacket or in your bag. And then they say, not such a good idea. Why don't you put that down? And then people run from the store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen it at a Walmart. I won't say where, but a Walmart. And it was a group of teenagers. They were there and they were causing so much havoc to kind of create a distraction.
Oh, they created a distraction.
Yeah. And there was two employees, two older ladies who came in around, I don't know, their 50s or 60s. And they're trying to wrangle out these teenagers and they kicked them out. And
other people were stealing.
Yeah.
Creating a diversion.
Yeah, they knew what was going on.
What a tactic.
They kicked them out, but then they took their, you know, their IDs, whoever would give them up, and it was a whole thing.
Mel D says, my metro told me they couldn't even hire teenagers to work, so they were forced to get a self-checkout. I'm dubious of that.
Nah.
Because we had a lot of cashiers at my pharmacy, and now they're mysteriously gone.
Ooh.
Ooh. Self-checkouts.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
And we're rolling air.
Mr. Hollywood's movie picks.
Action.
It is Friday, and Matt Damer's Mr. Hollywood is on the line. Hello, my friend.
Why, hello, Christy. Happy Friday, everybody.
I'm sorry I didn't greet you properly. Let me try that again.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There you go. I was watching some Seinfeld. It's funny, if there's a Seinfeld repeat on, I have to watch it for some reason. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning, as was last night, but I'm like, I gotta watch this. Something about it.
And how did that go?
Great. I've seen the episode, 500 times. The Merv Griffin.
Okay.
Kramer has the.
But you stayed awake for it.
Of course.
Okay.
I love some Seinfeld.
It's pretty late to start watching TV, so I'm just asking. Right?
Yeah. No, I'm a night owl, Chrissy. I like to watch. Like to watch all my movies and shows at night.
Me too. And you know what I'm back on now?
Oh, okay.
Because we fell behind. The problem with us is that we were watching too many things at once. And I'm not a good TV multitasker. If I'm watching too many shows at once or if I'm reading too many books, then I just stop.
Okay.
So we had been watching Succession and then we fell out of it. And then I just kept seeing so many spoilers for the current season that we stopped. But finally this week, we've begun again, and eventually I'll make my way to the final season, and I'll be with the rest of the world.
You won't be disappointed. I loved, and no spoilers, obviously, if you haven't already known, but that final episode was fantastic.
Let's get to the movies, because there's a big one. Transformers, yeah. Rise of the Beasts.
Darkness has found us again. Prime. This is about the fate of all living things. Unicron is coming.
It won't stop!
Oh, I thought we were boys.
You want it? Come and get it.
You brought a human here.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, get ready to roll, Christy. Get ready to roll. That's Pete Davidson, by the way, voicing a Transformer. Yes, we live in
Come on. Is that really?
Yeah, Pete Davidson. I didn't recognize
his voice.
He's the voice of Mirage. Huh. And he gets a lot of screen time, by the way. This is number 7 in the Transformers film series. The previous ones were done by Michael Bay. They were a little over the top, to say the least. The last one came out in 2018 called Bumblebee. That was kind of a prequel, and I actually really enjoyed Bumblebee. This one, also a prequel, takes place in the 90s, which is great. It has a great soundtrack.
I'm listening.
I liked it a little less than Bumblebee, but I still dug it. And I'll tell you why. It's not the big morphing metal alien Transformers. It's the humans. It's the people. Anthony Ramos is in here as Noah Diaz. That's his character. He's from In the Heights, and he just oozes charisma. He committed so much. There's so much silliness around him, and yet I was drawn to him. He was funny and dramatic. You know, there's this whole thing with his family, and Dominique Fishback is the other human in here. So they drew me in, but around them you have all, like, you know, the CGI morphing. And I guess it's impressive, right? You see all that stuff. You know, if I was a 10-year-old kid, my mind would be blown. But as an adult, it gets a little much, especially by the end. There's, like, a little overkill. You're going to need a Tylenol by the time. And plot-wise, I mean, you heard it in that little...
I love that. It's so much that I need ibuprofen.
Well,
sorry, acetaminophen, if we're going Tylenol.
Because when they transform, you hear the... I don't know what it is. Like somebody slamming a car
like
door.
Screws in a blender.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what?
Dubstep music.
The plot, you just leave your brain outside the cinema.
Okay.
And just take it in.
I don't mind that. I kind of like unhooking my brain.
Yeah, and that's what this is. It's a popcorn film. I'm not going to go too hard on it like some other critics. I'm going to give it a nice 6.5 flaming thumbs out of 10. Oh.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe not the biggest for me, but okay. All right. We have another one, an action thriller called The Wrath of Becky.
It's been 2 years since 4 neo-Nazis invaded my family's lake house and murdered my father. I'm 16 now, and I've run away from 3 foster homes.
Diego, come.
This is Elena Khan. I've lived with her for the past year.
We go now to a developing story. They call themselves the Noblemen, and they may be coming here to Fillmore. Whether or not the Noblemen decide to make an appearance at the town hall on Wednesday, only time will tell.
What is this one about?
This is quite the literal bloody good time. And I say that because it's a revenge movie that gets ultra violent. So keep the kids away from this one, The Wrath of Becky.
But this is a sequel.
It is a sequel.
I don't even remember the initial film. That's not a good sign.
Well, here's the thing. The first film came out in 2020, and it's just called Becky, okay? It kind of came out during, during the pandemic era where movies were kind of shifted around, put on a video on demand, that kind of stuff. You don't need to see that movie to see this one. And I want people to know that because I didn't see 2020
really?
Becky. And I got the screener for this, and I watched it. And I was like, this is great. And then reading the press notes, you're like, oh, it's a sequel. What? I didn't even know. And, of course, I went back and watched that 2020 movie, and, hey, it was actually pretty good. So don't worry about that. It's actually – it's like almost as if John Wick was a teenage girl, right? She's out for revenge. And one of the bad guys here – and I'm just going to mention this because it's Sean William Scott.
Oh my gosh.
From
Throwback.
And he's playing this kind of the leader of this kind of far right group that's maybe coming to town to protest and all this stuff. And I won't give spoilers, but she needs to get rid of them because they did some pretty awful things as it relates to her. So Becky, in all her glory, it's going to get 7.5 flaming thumbs out of 10.
So this is why you were interviewing Sean William Scott.
That's right. Yeah, no.
I saw your clip.
That's right. So with Watch Mojo, I get to do some interviews, and one of them was with Sean William Scott for this movie.
Yeah, and you were asking him about Jennifer Coolidge because they go way back to American Pie, Stifler's mom.
I had a dream, Christy, and would you watch this movie? And I told Sean William Scott that Stifler and his mom should have a movie where they go on a road trip.
You know, I would definitely watch it. I don't think it would be great. I don't think it would be, a masterpiece in cinema, but I think it would be very watchable and funny.
She's having a moment. She's
like a buddy comedy, but with Jennifer Coolidge and Sean William Scott.
There you go.
I think people would buy that, too.
Yeah.
They would go and pay their money and go to the cinema. Finally, we have Flamin' Hot.
Ow, wow, 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 wow.
What is it?
It burns.
Must stop eating it.
No, I like it. It was good.
I had been searching for an answer. And there it was. They had been there the entire time. Nothing can hold you
back. I got an idea. It's a spicy camp. It's gonna change everything.
It will save our factory.
And you're a janitor.
Okay, no, don't hang on. No one
can kill your man. Figure out the next step. Say, the Hispanic market will not be ignored.
The Hispanic market will not be ignored.
Good, but in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, right?
Are you joking?
No, this is the story.
The origin story of Cheetos, as in the snack food that leaves that orange dust on your fingers?
Yeah, but not just any Cheetos. The Flamin' Hot
variety. Sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't make that difference there. I didn't distinguish between the two of them.
But here's the thing: it's actually pretty remarkable. The story. It's it's all based on this true account. It's based on a book, a memoir, and you have this this guy Richard Montanez. He's a janitor at Frito-Lay's. He came up with the idea, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. You know, he's from this Latino family. They like things nice and hot and spicy. And, of course, wouldn't you know it, they decide to make it, and it disrupts the entire food industry. It was a pretty big deal, that Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So this is the story, as you put it, the origin story of those Cheetos. It's directed by Eva Longoria. We know her from, like, Desperate Housewives. She's her directorial debut. But I thought she did well. You know, it's easy to like. You know, it's brisk, and it's inspiration. It's rags to riches. It's, you know, we've kind of seen it. You know, we know where it's going, but, you know, wholly entertaining. And the best part, Christy, you can watch this at home if you have Disney Plus. So Flamin' Hot is on there. It's going to get 7 Flamin' Hot thumbs out of 10.
It ain't easy being cheesy.
But now what are they going to name your movie? Flamin' Hot is supposed to be the name of the movie about you.
That's right.
Flamin' Hot Thumbs. I'm not hitting on you. I just realized how that came out. God.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. For the hot thumbs, for the fire thumbs. All right. We got to get out of here now that I've embarrassed myself. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Friday has taken a turn. 5:49. Welcome back. We're following developing news this hour that David Johnston has quit his job as special rapporteur. Welcome back to the show. David Johnston, the former governor general, has resigned. This is breaking late on a Friday, right at the very end of our show. He was tasked with looking into the matter of foreign election interference. As you know, as we've covered quite a bit, he's faced intense scrutiny for his connections to the Trudeau family. He's been accused of being unfit to look into Chinese meddling in Canadian democracy because of his ties to the family, which he's continued to defend himself against. He's also faced a lot of backlash for recommending against a public inquiry into foreign election interference. The opposition parties continue to hammer on that, to call for one. He ruled it out, saying, "We don't need this public inquiry into foreign election interference." Instead, in his initial report released last month, he called for public hearings, which he would preside over. I want to welcome on now our chief political correspondent at CTV and the host of our national radio program, Vashi Kapelos. Vashi, thanks so much for coming on.
No worries. My pleasure.
I know you're in transit right now. What do you make of this?
You know what? I was thinking about it, and the one word I have for it is kind of inevitable. I think that it sort of does come as a shock in a way, only because it actually happened. But I do think politically it was inevitable. You described really well in the introduction there the degree to which the opposition scrutinized the selection of David Johnston. They highlighted, for example, many times things he'd said in the past about his relationship with the prime minister, things the prime minister had said in the past. They described each other as close friends. And then now Mr. Johnston kept saying, "Oh, we're not that close. Here's all the reasons why we aren't that close."
Right.
So even if there wasn't a real conflict of interest, there was certainly a perception of a conflict of interest that was cemented in. It was baked in at this point. I don't know how he could have conducted public hearings going forward with any real authority, given the degree to which the opposition had kind of lambasted his appointment.
Yeah, and I think back, Vashi, to his testimony at committee, which was supposed to be a committee about foreign election interference, and how much time was dedicated to David Johnston detailing his relationship and what house they stayed in and when they stayed there. It seemed like so much of the time was sucked up by that.
Yeah, and that's just sort of evidence of exactly the degree to which his appointment was scrutinized. And, you know, the fact that he had his chief legal counsel was a woman who's donated multiple times to the Liberals and the Liberals only and attended a fundraiser. And he had in the past described his relationship as very close with the prime minister. Now he says they barely knew each other. Their summer homes were close by, and so their kids were around the same age, and they hung out. That's the former prime minister, I should say, Pierre-Elliott Trudeau. So it was like this sort of, I don't know, it really did feel inevitable. I think he has a really long, respectable career. He was very, very well viewed. He was appointed by a conservative prime minister to be governor general, right? So it certainly at first didn't make a lot of sense, but you know, the topic is highly political. The nature of the debate has been highly partisan, and I would say David Johnson is a casualty of that.
I'm running up against the clock here because this has broken late on a Friday. I've got 2 minutes to go in our last minute together, Vashi. Now what? What's next? Now,
that's a great question. I'll be quizzing the government about that this weekend. I think they have to decide whether they just bite the bullet and call a public inquiry like the opposition has been demanding for months, or whether they appoint someone else to this position. I mean, good luck finding anyone that, you know, is gonna garner the authority that is necessary.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of a failed experiment for the government. They thought this could maybe, you know, substitute for actually calling an inquiry themselves, and it turns out it really blew back in their face.
And anybody who would want to take on this role. Thank you so much, Vashi. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, anytime.
Vashi Capellos joining on just at the very end of our show. She's the host of the Vashi Capellos Show, our national radio show that is right across the iHeartRadio network, chief political correspondent. I just want to quickly read this resignation letter sent to the prime minister where David Johnston is explaining why he's resigned, and it's exactly why you think he's resigning. He says the role has become too muddled in political controversy for him to continue. I'll read you a short little part. He said, "When I undertook the task of independent special rapporteur on foreign interference, my objective was to help build trust in our democratic institutions. I have concluded that given the highly partisan atmosphere around this appointment and my work, my leadership has had the opposite effect. I am therefore tendering my resignation, effective no later than the end of June 2023. Mm-hmm. So he'll stay on to the end of this month. He said, as soon as I deliver a brief final report, which I hope to do earlier.
And NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is the only federal leader to have commented so far on Twitter. David Johnston has done the right thing. Now the prime minister must call a public inquiry so that we can restore trust in our democracy.
This news breaking in the last 15-20 minutes, so there's sure to be tons of reaction. Vashi will have all that on her show this weekend. CTV News coming up next. Have a great Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.